Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a test. This is only a test. You just finished singing a beautiful praise song, but I'd like to recall one from my era, days of long past. It's a song that all of you have sung before, perhaps even here at Christ Lutheran. But it's a song that fits so very well into the topic of today's sermon that I thought I'd test your memory and not have it printed in the bulletin and ask you to sing it with me from memory. If I can do it, you can do it. All right? It goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the heart in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Privilege. You know, I have one of those doodads on my computer that enables me to look at a dictionary without having to open a book. And I thought, you know, this might be a word to look up. I know what it is. I know what it means. I've used it probably a few thousand times in my life. But what is a privilege? And according to the dictionary that I have on my computer, it says it's a special right, an advantage, or immunity granted only to a particular person or group of people. Does that fit? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. The second meaning was something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing particular pleasure. Does that fit the description of prayer in your life? In the epistle today, Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What makes it such a privilege? Did you ever stop to think that when you're praying, you're not praying to an image on the wall, to a picture painted by someone years ago, to something up here in the front of the sanctuary? When you're praying, you're speaking to God himself, not just a God like all the other gods, but the God who, by his mighty power, called this whole universe into existence. The God who, by his mighty power, formed you in the womb of your mother and brought you into this world and gave you life. The God who by his power put all of those lights out there in space that we're still discovering and finding we haven't reached the edge of it yet. And even our good old U.S. Air Force hasn't made it out there yet. They're looking, though. But it's this God who has done all of these marvelous, wonderful things who says, now you can come. You can talk to me anytime, day or night. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to wait like you do when you pick up the telephone and it says, you know, the lines are busy right now, call back later. Or please hold, we will be with you as soon as we can. Or please leave a message. This God, the God of all creation, has invited you to come into his presence so that you can speak to him about all of the concerns of your life. Now, as I was sharing with the children, some people look at it as the easy button from Staples, you know. When things really get rough and you think, oh my goodness, I don't think I can answer this one. You hit the red button and it's easy, isn't it? Oh, yeah. as a child, I was taught, and not by my pastor father, but by several of the kids in our parochial school, that the amen at the end of the prayers was like the release button, you know? When you got your prayers almost to the end and you got all your petitions lined up, you hit the amen, and zoom, there they go. But prayer is a privilege that God has given to each one of us so that there is an absolute open line to Him at all times to answer each and every one of your needs. Now, if you really want to simplify prayer, listen to a small child pray at night. Oftentimes, it's the same repetitive prayer over and over and again. Don't discourage that. Let them do it. Gradually, they'll learn to live in that prayer life. But normally, when we talk about prayer, we're talking about this kind of formal thing that we do. You know, like the pretzel. We cross our arms or we bow our head and we close our eyes and try to keep all the distractions away. And then we pray. And what is our prayer? Dear God, I'm having trouble. Dear God, thank you. Dear God, I praise your name. Those are all good prayers. Those are what we call petitions. But you know, prayer doesn't end with the gimme list. Prayer doesn't end with listing all of those things that are going right or wrong in your life. Prayer is a process in which you live in God's presence. When you go down the street and trip over a crack in the sidewalk and bruise your knees or nose, God is there to be with you. And it doesn't take prayer in order to bring that about, because you live in faith with God each and every day. And what God is trying to do is to create within your being, your existence, your day-to-day doings, that He is there to walk with you. I have been with you, with some of you, when you've gone through some very treacherous times, when it was touch and go, when the doctors looked at you with a question mark rather than with a smile. And I've seen things happen. And of course, when you are healed and we think, oh, God has answered our prayer, then everything is well. But when suddenly things go worse, an infection comes up, or could it happen? Death comes. We think, oh, God didn't hear us. And that's the kind of picture we have of prayer. But I want to let you know that prayer is far greater than that. I don't know how far you have to drive to go to work, those of you who are still working. I know how far it is from my house out here, and I know how far it is from my house over to the church, and I know how to get to the hospitals in town. I know all of that. And there are times when I'm sitting in this terrible Tucson traffic, and I'm stopped for a whole 15 or 20 seconds. And I think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with all of this time on my hands? And my answer is, I pray. As I've grown older, I've found that my sleep doesn't come in long stretches of 8 hours. It's usually in bits and pieces during the night. And I wake up and I look at the clock and I say, oh, 1:15. And so what do? I start praying. About what? Well, you can start listing the things yourselves. You know what there is to pray about. And so during the night, during those times of sleeplessness, I use that time to speak to my God in prayer. And I'm not trying to point out that I'm some sort of a paragon of virtue who does all of the right things at the right time. God knows there have been many times in my life when I have not opened myself up to Him or allowed Him to speak to me. But Paul, in talking to the Philippians, has this very beautiful passage and tells us, in everything, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. God lives to have us live. He sent His Son to die in our behalf so that we would have that openness with Him. And whether you're one of the group over here in this elect section, or a group over in this elect section, or whether you're down here on the plain old floor, God has a message for you today. He wants you to know that He lives for your communication with Him. And you communicate with God very, very easily. My problem is that my communication with God is somehow connected with when I don't speak to Him, when I turn my back on him, when I'm not listening to his word, when I fail to go the way he wants me to go, when I do those things that I just confess in the confession we said this morning, when I speak to him and share, oh, God, forgive me. And his answer is, you rotten little guy, get out of here. His answer is, my son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. And living in that forgiveness of Christ, I can now come to him day and night, morning and noon, afternoon and evening, wherever I am, in my car, in my bed, in my house, at my computer, I can come to him and speak to him, and his answers are always there. Sometimes I make the mistake of trying to look on the back of the bathroom door to see if he might have a secret message for me there, because sometimes God's answers don't coincide with mine. And sometimes I, like one of my professors told me, Roland, you're not praying petitions, you're praying answers. You're telling God what to do. You're asking God to make your will his will. And he wants just to invert that and make his will our will. And so in our day-to-day life, he speaks to us through passages like this one and says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. I've got a lot of requests. You know, I pray for healing for a lot of people, including my wife. I pray for healing for myself. I pray for wisdom. I pray for guidance. And the crazy thing is, especially those prayers for guidance and wisdom, God puts it there in front of my face, and I say, no, that's not the kind of wisdom I was thinking about. You know, I have it figured out. And God says, no, you don't. Listen. And so as he speaks to me in prayer, as he speaks to me in his word, as he speaks to me through the people I meet and people I share with, as he speaks to me through the incidents and accidents that happen in my life, he lets me know that he is listening and listening carefully. And he will for you too. That's the joy, that's the wonder, that's the privilege of prayer. So as you leave this house today, as you go home to continue the sanctification of your life through the power of God's Spirit, I want you to remember that prayer is one of the things that God has given you to draw you close to him, so that you live in his presence, so that you are open to his Spirit, so that the word and power of his Spirit can get through to you, and then you will be able to receive what Paul talks about in that very next verse. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And boy, do we need that. We live in a world in which there is a great deal of unrest. We have problems going on in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in North Korea. We have problems going on right here in our own United States. We have problems going on right here in Tucson, Arizona, and in Vail, Arizona. We have drive-by shootings. We have gangs. We have all kinds of corruption going on. And in the midst of all of that, God says, the peace of God will be with you if you open yourself to the privilege of prayer. May God grant you the strength, the wisdom, the understanding to know that in order for your life to be happy and successful, live in that relationship with him that allows his blessings to come through one after the other, and you will have that peace that he promises to give. In Christ, amen.